Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It feels good to be on air today. It feels good to be horizontal. Got out of ICU late last night and here in studio with my good friend, Sean Odo, the owner of Valhalla Training Grounds. And anyone who knows the gym life and knows about being hardcore has to know about Valhalla. If you haven't heard about it, it's the best damn gym in Louisiana, hands down. Sean knows I always pick with him when he's ready to open in Baton Rouge because I want one closer to my house so I could go every day. And I would cancel all of my other gym memberships combined just to join and be there full time. So Sean, man, I welcome you to the show and thanks for making the drive in to be here with me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
So you've been open for how long now at Valhalla?
It'll be 5 years in May.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And just before we got on the air, some exciting news you were mentioning to me. People may not know you're looking at expanding.
Yes. We'll be expanding this year. Not certain exactly the time frame yet, but we will be moving into a bigger space.
That's huge news. I'm glad. I always applaud when I see my friends succeeding and their businesses thriving and people doing well. So. Proud of you, man. Kudos to you.
Thank you, dude. Yeah. It's really easy to kind of get lost in the process, especially when you're, you know, somebody business minded like we are. It's kind of hard to stop and look back at how far you come because you're always looking forward to what you want to do and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I got to tell myself it's like only been 5 years and, you know, we're still growing. We're growing every year. So yeah, it's been awesome.
If you're growing, that's a good thing, man. Like I say, if a business isn't growing, it's dying.
That's it.
So
that's it.
If you're growing and you're growing during some of the most catastrophic times to be a business owner, COVID was a death sentence to a lot of gyms out there, a lot of restaurants. Now, tell me, during COVID, how did you guys make it through that and manage to still grow during that period?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't close. I closed to the public. We didn't allow any guests. I just had existing members train. You know, everybody made sure to wipe everything down, clean everything off. You know, because of the people I cater to, I have a lot of professional athletes there. I have a lot of serious competitors. So some of them, I mean, that's how they make their livelihood, you know, training. So I wasn't even remotely about to take that away from them.
Yeah.
So yeah, we stayed open and I let the existing members do their thing. No one got sick. Everybody was fine with everything. Everybody made sure they were cleaning up, sanitizing everything. We just pressed on as normal. Now, we didn't really grow during that time, but when word got out that, you know, we didn't close and that because that's always been my thing is to take care of the members. I think that definitely kind of made a huge statement about it, especially some of the corporate gyms that closed down and, you know, didn't, you know, were still charging people and didn't really care about their members or any of that stuff, you know.
It speaks volumes to you, the culture there, and like you said, the ability for people to still come work out during that shutdown. There was only one gym in Baton Rouge like yours that had the balls to stand up and say, we're staying open, and I thought that was huge. You know, you guys are two of the only gyms that I went to that whole year because, of course, it was, even though it was a further drive, I was like, man, I love these guys.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it was a hard time. So everybody, you know, people weren't working. People were worried about money. Everyone was stressed out about, you know, the future and what was going to happen. So and training and exercising is therapeutic. It's stress relief for a lot of people. So I mean, like I said, I wasn't even remotely about to take that away from everybody, especially with everything going on.
Yeah.
I mean, people had enough stuff going on. They didn't need to lose whatever little bit of therapy or stress relief they could have possibly had left, you know?
Exactly. I'm big on if you're that paranoid, stay home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
basically.
That's still my philosophy this year. Yep. It's probably not politically correct or something that would go over real well in my corporate settings I'm in a lot of times, but it's the truth. You know, if you're that nervous or that worried to walk outside or walk in a store or walk in a gym, maybe you just need to stay home.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And I don't, you know, I understand that what's going on scares a lot of people, and that's fine. I mean, that's totally fine. But I'm of the same mindset. I mean, if you're that scared of it, if you really are concerned about your life, your health that much, I mean, yeah, the safest possible thing that you can do is stay home. I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
So So your philosophy at Valhalla, and anyone that doesn't know, I mean, the gym, it speaks to that Spartan, that Valhalla, that ancient Roman type of Greek mindset of hardcore, you know, warrior mindset. You know, everything sure. I see you post, and when I see the things you guys talk about, it's always that philosophy that I always say is dead in America. It's sadly dying in corporate America. You know, we're always focused on the less than 1% whose feelings get hurt by something insensitive being said or what have you. But your hardcore philosophy, where did that come from, and then how did you translate that into the culture and the environment there at Valhalla?
I mean, I was, you know, I'm 39, so I was kind of, my grandparents and parents and stuff like that still kind of came from that very old school era. I had a very, very, very tough childhood where it was instilled in me very early, where if I want anything, if I want to achieve anything, no one's going to help me. I'm going to have to do it myself.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, people don't want to hear it. Everything portrayed nowadays with social media is that life is supposed to be perfect and easy, and you're supposed to have all these good joy feelings all the time. And the problem is that's just not what life is. I mean, anything you want in life, anything you want to attain in life, you're going to have to work for, you're going to have to get uncomfortable. It's going to suck. It's going to be hard. I mean, it's just part of it. I mean, it's just part of it. So I've been in the fitness industry since, I mean, I started working out when I was 13. I started working in the fitness industry in 2001. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it all. I've been around it all. I mean, if whatever you want to achieve fitness wise, okay, it's going to boil down to the work you put in and the environment you're in. So, you know, I talk a lot and I talk down a lot about corporate fitness and all of that stuff because, you know, everybody's looking for the easy way out. They want the quick way out and it doesn't work. So they go to the next easy thing. They try to go to the next quick thing and it doesn't work. And it's,
there's no fad diet. Like those diets, those crash diets, the magic pills to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. No. If you lose 30 pounds in 30 days, you're probably gonna gain 20 of it back when you start doing anything normal afterwards.
Absolutely. And I'm you know, some people think that I'm not politically correct or I'm pretty harsh or too rough around the edges, and I told you, you're gonna have to bear with me to try and like find my words because this is hard because I can't curse on the radio.
So. Look, my dad, I joked before the show, I told you, my dad, you know, shout out to Pops there in heaven, is he's straight from the Bronx, New York, 100% Italian. Yeah. So F word was like a household noun, verb, right, adjective, right, adverb. So believe me, it's hard when I get going on the show.
Oh, absolutely.
I joke with Charles sometimes, and I like lie. I got a tape or something.
Yeah, I'm like searching for my words.
Yeah,
right,
I get passionate like you about something I believe in, and I'm like, this is effing awesome. You know, I get it.
So you got these people. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it for 20 something years. You got these people trying something. Not getting where they want to do, and so they want to try this and they want to try that, and it's like, look, like you have to get uncomfortable, you have to suffer, you have to work. And that was the whole thing around Valhalla, is I want a place where people can come and achieve the results that they want, where they don't need personal trainers and they don't need to get on nutrition diets, where they don't need to get on fad diets. They can literally be in an environment surrounded by other people that are like-minded, that are putting in the work, that is going to make them want to work harder than they do. It's going to make them want to push harder than they do, and they're going to get results on their own.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that is what's happened. I've had people since joining there who have been working out for years and never thought about competing, that see all these other people around them competing and are like, well, why can't I do it? So they end up competing, not just in bodybuilding, I mean, powerlifting. I mean, I really can't stress enough the importance of the environment that you put yourself into. And it is not, look, it's not a shock that people in crappy environments are not getting where they want to be. They want to blame everything else but themselves. I'm like, look, it's on you. You're choosing to be this environment.
Yeah.
You're choosing to be around lesser people. You are the reason you're not getting where you want to be. Like, try something different. Do something different.
Yeah. You're a result of the five people you most associate with.
Sure. 100%.
You're a combination of that. So if your circle is problematic, negative, unhealthy, you know, not financially fit, then more than likely you're going to be that 100%. Fifth person in that circle.
Yep. 100%.
You know, you talk about getting uncomfortable and raising your level of performance. Just being there, you know, the couple times, I'll tell this one story before we go to break. I was training legs, and this is a couple years ago before I was probably right after a competition. My knees were aching because I got both knees redone. And I'm squatting 315. I'm doing a few sets, and I told my buddy I'm just going light today because my knees are hurting. And I was at your gym, and everyone in the power room, dude, they're dropping 600-pound deadlifts,
oh,
and they're crushing it. And it's just contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy comes back in the room, and I got 405 on there, and I'm doing squats. And I'm like, dude, spot me. I was like, I got to get at least one good set of 10 on 405. And he's like, I thought you were going light today. I was like, dude, look around. I was like, we got to step by. You know,
right,
and
sure.
It was just the atmosphere and the energy.
Absolutely.
You know, was contagious, and it had me training harder just being there.
And that was the point.
Exactly what I love about it. So you guys stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about culture, energy, fitness with my good friend Sean Odo from Valhalla Training Grounds. Stay tuned for more financial fitness. Welcome back. We are in our second segment here, and I love that friggin' movie. And anything from 300 will get me hyped up, man, for a workout, anything. We did a cut from that in one of my bodybuilding shows, like leading into the music and all. So
that's those war movies.
I love all those, man. And like everything you do at Valhalla just resonates with me. You know, being kind of a history nerd, I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, I love all those warrior cultures.
I do too, and I just think, you know, I watch us as a society, and I watch what we're doing in this country, and it's no wonder people come here from other countries, make millions of dollars, and then go home and retire.
Oh,
well.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely.
You know, whereas, like we talked about, I want to get to a quote I saw on the wall there before, above the dumbbells. It kind of made me think of Fight Club. You know, like, you're not a special snowflake, but I love the you are not special quote on the wall above the dumbbells. Yeah, what made you put that there? Tell us about that.
Well, it's, I guess what resonates with me with that is competing in bodybuilding for so long. You know, you would have guys go on stage, competitors go on stage who didn't even really look that great, and come off stage, and all their friends are like, oh man, you look great, or you killed it, or you this and that. And I'm like, it's, I believe that kind of feedback, I don't feel gets anybody better.
No, man.
So you're sitting here saying, oh man, you're awesome. Well, that's not telling me what I need to, improve on.
Especially when you're not awesome.
Exactly. But even when you are awesome, that's still not helping you get
more
level
awesome.
Up or even, you know, better. So that was the whole thing. It's like, no, like, you're not good enough. You're not special. You're not good enough. Like, and that the whole quote says, you're not special, keep working.
Yeah.
And that, because that's what it is. You're not, like, wherever you, there is no apex. There is no climax. So wherever you think you're on top, keep working, because you're not. There's always somebody better. There's always somebody willing to outwork you. No matter what, you know, you can always achieve more. So no, you're never done.
I like the keep working. You're not special, keep working. You know, that was something that I learned way too late in my career and in business. And I always like good athletes, great people like yourself who've owned businesses, who've done big things on the show. And I always try to translate this to people in any walk of life, you know, because I try to say my show, try to speak to everybody,
sure,
how they can use this in their personal life and business. You know, I was watching something on the way up here, and three things that most millionaires do that average people don't do. One of the three things that they do is they go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week for at least 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I learned in my career, like you said, you're not special, keep working. When I got to where I was making $100,000 or $200,000, whatever that number was that I put in my mind I wanted to get to, all I found out was it doesn't get easier.
Mm-mm.
If
Absolutely.
You want to keep progressing... Same thing, I was lifting after a show back in like 2018, when I'd come back and started doing bodybuilding again. And I texted my wife and I said, I'm going for 500 today on squats. It was on the Smith, you know, I don't do a lot of free weight squats anymore, but I was doing 500 pounds on the Smith, and the best I'd done that for was a single. And up leading up to that, I started getting a little bit of strength back. And did it for six, and I texted her. I said, I felt really good after six reps. I said, I'm going to do one more set. And then I texted her back after I did it for a set of 10. Mm-hmm. And I said, I just crushed my goal. I said, but you know what happens now? 10 is now the norm.
Right, exactly.
So it wasn't that I got to chill and kick back and relax.
No.
Now I got to work that much harder, because now I know you can lift this 10 times if you put your mind right,
right.
And you're feeling good. So, right. You know, that keep working philosophy.
It's the complacency. The complacency is what kills. Like thinking that, okay, like I'm good where I'm at. Like I've gotten enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that complacent mindset, I mean, will kill anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and the stuff you're talking about, it's amazing how that gym hardcore mindset translates so well for businesses.
Sure, sure.
And business owners, I mean, anybody that's listening, complacency kills. Getting complacent is a terrible way to be. Even if you had a great 2020 or 2021, the minute you get complacent, like you said, someone's training harder, someone's moving, yep. Someone's hungrier than you, and they're going to come and they're going to take your spot.
Yep.
Whether it's on stage as a bodybuilder, whether it's in your business sphere and they're opening another business that does what you do, yep. Only they're doing it a little bit better. So you've got to always be on your game and always be looking over your shoulder and again, keep working.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was the thing I did with the posts. You know, the posts I make, I tell every once in a while, like, I reiterate it, but you can take my posts, and even when I'm talking about fitness in my posts, and you can literally take it and apply it to any aspect of life. And then that was the point. I didn't want to. I think it's so generic and just so. I mean, the whole thing with the facility was to inspire people and motivate people to do things they never thought they could do. So you can go through, look through all the posts I made, and there is never a, oh, come join this month for this discount, or, you know, come get your fitness on, or whatever. Like, it's never that.
Because no
that
pizza does, day or
no,
bagels?
No, that doesn't inspire, that doesn't motivate, that doesn't anything. So, like, I my posts end up being pretty lengthy, but it's to kick people in the butt and wake them up and say, you know, like, you can do this. Like, you don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to be somebody. You don't have to be special. Like, we're all, like me. I'm just a regular guy. Like, people look at what I've done on Valhalla, and they, I mean, I'm nobody special. Like, there's nothing special about me. Like, I'm just a regular dude, you know.
But, that contentment and being like that and pushing yourself every day, that's why you're sure. Achieving these things in the gym. The culture there in the gym is catching on like fire. And I'd be willing to bet your retention rate's probably better than most of those corporate gyms.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on the people that really embody what Valhalla is. I mean, they join and they stay. It doesn't matter what happens. They stay. Usually I try to work with people if they fall on hard times or stuff, you know, because I would rather them be able to come to the gym than not. So I kind of work with them a little bit on that, but it's very evident. My percentage, I'm about 100% accurate right now for every single time someone has shown up to the gym. Like, I can just look at them and say, this person's not going to be here in a month or 2 months. And I'm literally 100% dead on right now. Like, somebody just shows up and it's just their energy. And you can tell, like, they're going to be here for a month or two and then they're going to disappear. And we do have people like that come, but I'm okay. What aggravates me about that is that they even join in the first place. I'm like, look, you should know what Valhalla is. You should know what it's about. If you have no intention on staying here, like, just don't come join.
Right. It's not a New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't need your $50 for like 2 months. Like that I don't care about that. Like, go join someplace else. I would rather you not even come and walk through the door.
Yeah. You want real people who want
sure.
real results.
Right.
And
right.
who are there to train hard.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's funny, you talk about the energy someone exudes when they walk in, how easily you can pinpoint that.
Oh, dude, it's so, I mean, you can literally, as soon as I look at them, like, you can just tell. I mean,
yeah.
You can immediately, like, the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they look, whether they look you in the eye or not. I mean, there's just a thousand cues going off at one time where you can tell.
It's that alpha male. It's primal. It's just like an animal. You can sense weakness.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's ingrained in us.
Yeah.
No, that's a fact. So the guys who are too busy worried about gym selfies, that's not your guy, huh?
Yeah, I mean, man, it kind of became an issue, like, as of recently, and I don't know why, but my whole thing is, like, obviously I want people promoting the gym, so it's not like you can't take selfies, but, like, you know, the dumbbell area is packed and like you trying to video yourself doing crunches or like something that's not really worth videoing, right? like just work out, man. Like, what are you doing? You know,
yeah, not all of your workout is for the gram.
Yeah, no, like that's not why you're here. Like, if you're trying to be some type of like social media influencer and all this, like just go someplace else. Go someplace else and do that. Like, that's not what this place is for. Like, that's not what people should be here for. You know, and like I said, I want people repping the gym. I want people advertising the gym. But the whole, I mean,
it's a balance.
There's definitely a balance. And yeah, when you got a giant tripod that's 3 feet across with a cell phone on top of it, videoing yourself doing 60-pound dumbbell presses, that's not warranted. Like, you have, like, dude, they have guys there that have done 200-pound dumbbell bench presses. You have no reason videoing your 60-pound bench press. You're like, you just don't.
It's funny. In 2019 and early 2020, when I tore my pec, I saw the 200-pound dumbbell wall, and I told my wife I'm going to be on that year. And look, man, before that, like, I was repping the 100-pound dumbbells, 20 to 30 reps. I was crushing it. My bench was always one of my best lifts. And ended up tearing my pec in 2020. But, dude, I was dead set that I was getting that 200-pound dumbbell lift on the wall.
I give mad respect to anybody that can do those, because I moved those dumbbells from my house to my truck to the gym, and I had to carry each one in between my legs with two hands.
Yes.
So anybody that can even lift those up, dude, you got my respect.
Cause my arms are so short, I can only go about this far with like the 150-pound dumbbells.
Well, and they're about 3 feet wide each. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely a skill.
Those are no joke. My peak, the biggest dumbbell ever at most gyms is 150.
Yeah.
So repping those a few times. I had it in my head, though. I was like, I'm going to get them 200-pound dumbbells for a rep.
it's a task, man. It's pretty intense.
So you guys have some amazing people there at the gym. We're gonna come back after this short commercial break, talk more about Valhalla and the mindset and the things that make it the best gym in Louisiana, and I think one of the best gyms in America. So you guys stay tuned. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Second half of the show, we're talking hardcore training, we're talking mindset, we're talking about Valhalla Training Grounds, the best gym in Louisiana. And on this segment, I want to make sure, before we get into talking, you and I can talk about this stuff all day and all night.
Talk about this all night.
So let's tell everybody, where can they find you, who's listening tonight?
Yeah, so we're on 5700 Citrus Boulevard in Elmwood, right across the street from the big Coca-Cola factory. Kind of like in the center, in between, you know, Metairie, New Orleans, Kenner, kind of like in the center, all of that.
And then Sean Odo on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. I got Valhalla Training Grounds in parentheses after. And then on Instagram is Train for Valhalla.
So you guys look him up on Instagram, look him up Facebook. And gym membership there. What's a gym membership?
Currently it's $50 a month. When we move, we're going to go up. But right now it's 50. It's like 54, 38, I think, after tax.
Will people who are members now be grandfathered in?
Yeah, they'll be grandfathered in. Yeah,
so that's a
no initiation fee, no cancellation fee. Your first card's free, because, you know, the focus is not money. So, and I've worked at other gyms, and that's all just crap fees that they stick in there.
I used to always hate the sign up fee. That to me was always the biggest BS.
I mean, look, I could tell you right now, okay, I buy these key fobs, all right, I literally pay a dollar something for each of them. I mean, so when you go join somewhere and they say it's $25, $30 for a card, just to let you know, they're probably buying them in a higher quantity than I am, so they're probably paying less than a dollar. Exactly. Just to let y'all know. So
the little inside secrets of the business.
Exactly.
Now, I know you're expanding. You got the new building. Y'all are going to a bigger facility there. Same area of New
Orleans.
Same area,
just right down the street.
Do you ever plan on getting into other markets? Have you thought about expanding into other markets?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me about that. My thing is I haven't really thought much about it, because I there's still so much I want to do with the current facility. So it's hard for me to kind of think about diverting my attention to something else.
Right.
And I still haven't really done what I want to do.
No,
here. You know, there's been a huge interest for it. It's not something that I'm ruling out. But like I said, I'm kind of just devoting all my energy and attention to especially going to the new spot.
Well, and Akeem, you've built something amazing and unique, and you have a unparalleled culture there. So you don't want to water that down.
No, absolutely not.
So when you keeping that same
that would be the key.
Culture is critical.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story, man. My friend used to own most of the Anytime Fitness mm-hmm. franchises mm-hmm. when they first came to Louisiana, and he was sponsoring me 06, 07, 08 when I was competing. And I went to an Anytime Fitness that had just opened in Baton Rouge, and I literally was wearing an Anytime Fitness wife beater that he had sewn to and made for me for when I was training. And I got told by the owner of the Anytime Fitness that time on Corsi Boulevard that I had to leave because I was wearing a tank top.
Right.
And I said, "Sir, it's Anytime Fitness tank top." And I'm looking and I'm sponsored by Anytime Fitness. I'm getting ready to compete. And what gym doesn't allow someone to wear a tank top? And secondly, I'm looking at five females on the treadmills and on the ellipticals wearing tank tops.
Oh, sure.
And he said, "This is a soft fitness facility." And
what does that even mean?
And I said,
"What the hell does that mean?"
My exact words. I can't even say what I said on the radio. What the this right. soft fitness?
Right.
I go, "Those two things, that's an oxymoron." I was like, "It doesn't even go together."
Right.
But yeah, so I'll never forget the time I got kicked out of an Anytime Fitness while being sponsored by Anytime Fitness for wearing an Anytime Fitness.
Yeah.
And that was right before the cultural shift and the Planet Fitnesses and the soft fitness movement kind of moved in, which I see the people who train at most of those places, and there's some good people who go to those gyms and are misled, and I watch them month in and month out either never change or get heavier and more out of shape.
Well, you have to think about it like this, okay? And this is giving you inside perspective from the fitness industry, okay? These corporate facilities are going to hire trainers that just got out of school, that just got certified, that aren't really well versed in the training industry, okay, to where they're going to pay them a minimal amount of money. So they're not, these aren't good trainers. I mean, typically when you go to a private gym, it's typically like a 60-40 split, at least where it's, the trainer gets 60. That's at least when I was training. And the more clients you had, that percentage split would change. But then, I mean, that's how you get good trainers in there, because they're getting paid.
They need the bulk of the money. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, you're not going to have, corporate fitness is all about them making money. They're not going to pay their trainers any substantial amount of money to where they're going to get good trainers there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was, I made a post, I think it was last week, where I talk about all the money I leave on the table, because it's not about money for me. But I mean, I was a full-time personal trainer for 18 years. I mean, the few trainers that I have at the gym, all they owe me is $5 a session. They can charge whatever. If they can get $100 a session,
that's huge.
Great. They owe me $5. Like, it doesn't matter. Their clients don't have to be members, because I mean, these guys have to make a living. And I mean, them paying me $5, I mean, that's $5 in my pocket. I don't even have to do anything.
You know, so your trainers can bring clients in who mm-hmm. aren't even gym members.
Correct.
And they're not giving up 40, 50, 60, 50% of their...
They're giving up $5. And they can charge whatever they want to. Whatever rates they want to charge, that's on them.
Yeah, dude, that's huge. I mean, I think just from a trainer or anybody in that sphere listening to that, hearing that, like, their ears should perk up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm training at the wrong gym.
Well, yeah, you... I mean, like I said, I know what it's like to be a trainer and to try and make a living. So I'm very, very sensitive to that.
So how many trainers do you guys have that train clients there?
Pretty much all the trainers I have are members. I don't really let, like, just anybody come and train.
Yeah,
So I've probably got about five.
Yeah.
All of them are either competitors or actively involved in the fitness industry. So they're not just book smart, they're practical smart.
Yeah.
You know, and having a facility like that to be able to train your clients at, where we have such a diverse amount of equipment, it just benefits the client, you know,
oh, yeah,
that much more.
I used to drive to do legs there just because of some of the equipment you had that no other gym here has. I would go to New Orleans for leg day with Paige Russell, if he's listening, mm-hmm. a good friend of mine.
Oh, yeah, Paige comes here a lot.
Yeah, we would make that drive on leg day on the weekends just because there was equipment there and exercises, because Paige and I both share bad knees.
Right.
So being able to do something besides squats and still really hit the legs and get a killer workout was huge.
Wait till you see all the extra leg equipment I'm adding.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'll be down there every weekend. So when you guys started Valhalla, was it just you? Who else was the brains in putting this together?
Like, yeah, it was literally just me. I had wanted to open a gym since I was 16, but like I said, I grew up in an environment that was not very supportive to all the stuff I wanted to do. So once I kind of got into my 30s, a switch just kind of flipped where I was like, look, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I was like, I've been wanting to do this for however long. I didn't really have any money. I had probably like $30,000 in savings, and I used all of that for like down payments for insurance and equipment and down payment for rent and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I literally just, it took me 3 years from the time I decided I was going to open it till the time the doors opened. It took me 3 years of basically, I was working a full-time job. I would come home, I'd go train. I'd get done training, I'd come home, and I would literally just work on it every night, like thinking about all the details and all the rules and what I wanted to do and the ins and outs. And
most people, that's why they fail at fitness, that's why they fail in business, that's why they fail at everything, and they don't realize failure's not a bad thing.
No, that's how you learn.
Exactly. Most people would give up 3 years before seeing the fruits of your labor and before seeing something develop.
Yeah.
It's too long. Yeah, we talked about like the younger generation and how weak-minded, and how you can see that when they walk in the door. Most people want that instant gratification, mm-hmm. the 500 likes on their post, and they're not willing to sacrifice for 6 months, much less 3 years, to get the end result. And a lot of people will never have a successful business or will never get to the next side of success because during that first hard 3 months, 6 months, they give up and they turn back to what's easy, what's comfortable. And then they don't realize that just one more month of suffering or sacrifice or pushing, they could have hit that goal or they could have opened their business.
Sure,
and stuff.
I literally was told no probably, at least 36 times. Going to go look for money, trying to get this, trying to get that. I mean, I was literally, but I didn't need to get told yes 36 times. I just needed to be told yes one time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you literally have to fail your way to success. People don't understand that.
No, and that a lot of that is, again, stuff I've paid a lot of money over the years in coaching and business coaching to learn. So you guys are getting some great information here. Stay tuned for our final segment. We're here in studio with Sean Odo, owner of Valhalla Training Grounds. We're going to be talking more about mindset and the motivation and what's made this the best gym in America. You guys stay tuned. Welcome back, Financial Fitness. We're in the final segment here. It's been a great show, and I love great guests on my show because it just makes it easy to host, and the time flies. So here we are in our last segment. We've got 10 minutes left of the show, and you've covered so many things, and you guys, if you have not gone to Valhalla, I would go for the culture, the environment, not to mention the results you're going to get by training around the biggest, the strongest, the best in the fitness industry. You know, I've gone there anytime I was in New Orleans, that's where I would go train. And it made me train harder. And I was training hard. Like any gym I go to in Baton Rouge, I'm usually the guy training harder than anybody in the room until I go there.
Right.
And then there's 25 guys training harder than me. And I look around the room, and I'm no longer that big fish in a small pond.
Right.
Yeah. So it's awesome to go train there.
But that's what forces you to level up.
Exactly. You don't realize when you're playing amongst other amateurs, you think you're good until you go play with pros. And that's what I had to realize in circles I was in. I was in small circles. and I had to get out of Baton Rouge, I had to get out of Louisiana, I'd go to all these different, you know, success groups, success meetings, and business development groups, and I realized these guys are playing on another level. And that's what got me out of my comfort zone, and, yep. and you know, things that, that Sean has been talking about, you know, the things that he brings to that gym and the mindset that he brings and the atmosphere is stuff that I have paid tens of thousands of dollars from business coaches and people to learn those same principles, those same philosophies, and things I thought I was a little too hardcore about at my own business and at work. I'm old school, you know, you show up on time, you work, you don't ask for days off, you earn days off. Yep. You know, holidays, don't ask me if we're open on this day. I tell everybody, I was like, every day we're open. It's optional if you want to show up, and it's optional if you want to work here.
Right.
But we're open 7 days a week. Yep. You know, the door, you have a key to the office. You can work on Sunday. You can work on Monday. You can work on Christmas Day. You know, I closed more loans than anyone I know on Christmas Eve because I had clients and families who said, we want to be in our house for Christmas.
Right.
You know, so that mindset, I mean, today, I literally got out of ICU last night. I got out of the hospital. I went home last night. I was discharged, and I was at work this morning, a little late. I'll confess, I got to work late this morning, but I had countless people tell me, what are you doing here, B? You need to relax, B. B, are you doing your radio show tonight? Why don't you call in? You don't. And all I kept seeing in my mind, and I might even make a post about it, I like the Brad Pitt from Troy, and that's why no one will remember your
right.
name.
That's exactly right.
You know, I just, I'm that hardcore guy in the business world, and in mind and talk, and what I teach my kids. You know, I always talk about my kids because one's a football state champion, the other one's a world champion in jiu-jitsu at the age of 9. But they got the work ethic at a young age that, you know, they know, and not because they're the best athletes. I mean, look at their, I'm not the tallest, biggest guy in the room, right. but my little boy, he's the best athlete because he outworks everybody
right.
else.
Right.
He's been,
that's huge.
Yeah, he's 6 years old at the gym, and now he's 9. And I ask him, what do you got to do at practice? What do you got to do at school? I got to outwork everybody. I got to be the best one in there every day. And I was like, well, what about practice? He says, we go just as hard in practice as we do in the game or in the gym and in the fights. Because I told him, I said, every day on practice, I said, you practice like you fight.
For the game, right. You're practicing for the game.
Yeah, you're practicing for that event. He's got a tournament this weekend. And so I was like, hey, go hard. I said, send me some video. I said, Dad's got to do his radio show. I was like, but I want to see you smashing in there today.
Yep.
And you give it your all until Thursday, and then we'll take off Friday and go in for Saturday to go kill.
Yep.
And, you know, having that mindset is huge. So, you know, again, before you opened your gym, is there any advice you wish you'd been given or someone had given you that would have been helpful now that you've been open 5 years and looking back?
Really, honestly, the biggest thing that hurt me was, so when I opened the gym, I mean, I literally went all in. I mean, every ounce of energy I had went to the gym, which was great for the gym, but it was horrible for my personal life. I mean, I totally detached from myself. I detached from my morals, my values. It ended up costing me my marriage. I did dumb things that I've never done before. Just because I had no balance in my life. I mean, I literally went 1,000% in, blinders on, in the business, which is great for the business, but that wasn't everything in my life. I mean, I was married, I had a great family, and I lost all that because I lost touch with myself. You know, I got into a very, very dark place just because I wasn't devoting any time to myself. I
mean, right.
It was just business. So that was something that I wish I kind of took more serious, was to just have a little bit more balance. Not to maybe not go in as hard with the gym, but just, you know, it wouldn't have slowed the gym down any for me to like take a Saturday and Sunday and like spend it with my family. Like, that wouldn't have hurt, or take some time and still give time to me and focus on me and myself. That wouldn't have kept the gym from going forward. So that was probably the hardest lesson that I learned. But again, the lessons come from failure. Yep. So now, having gone through all that, the one thing that I make sure that I have in my life right now is balance.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of billionaire friends. I've got one billionaire friend. We were together, and he's recently divorced. Mm-hmm. And he'd been married a long time. His business, he didn't have to go that hard. And he's already made billions.
Yep.
You know, he's worth about $8 billion, but recently divorced. And it was that same thing, that obsessive personality of he didn't give any time back. And, you know, I had a business coach, if he's listening, he's been on the show, Brian Moses, and one of the first things he made me do as we got to know each other, he'd make me schedule a vacation for next year.
Yep.
And I'd never scheduled a vacation more than
a couple weeks in
advance, and it was like, I might take off early on Friday and do a three-day weekend.
I know.
And so Brian made me go schedule a one-week vacation with my family a year in advance. And so, you know, having some balance is key.
It's key. It's so important.
Have to work your ass off. When you start a business, don't be fooled. It ain't 9 to 5.
No.
Yeah, so if you want 9 to 5, your business is probably going to fail.
I lived at the gym for almost a year.
Yeah.
I lived at the gym for almost a year.
But you have to have that support, your family, and you have to find some time to give back to them. So I think that's huge. And, you know, before we close, I want to again remind the audience, website, where to find you, and how to join if someone's interested in joining the best gym in town.
So right now you can actually sign up on our website, which is www.trainforvalhalla.com. That's actually going to go away once we move into the new facility. You can come in person. You can call the gym. It goes straight to my cell phone, so no matter where I am, I always get the calls. Facebook, it's Sean Oda with Valhalla Training Grounds in parentheses, and Instagram's Train for Valhalla.
So Train for Valhalla. Just remember that if nothing else.
Yep.
Best gym, hands down. Guys, you want to raise your level in business. Like I said before, I was listening to something on the way here, and three things most millionaires do that other people don't do. And number one on that list was they go to the gym 4 times a week minimum, for a minimum of 30 minutes of cardiovascular or weight training activity. And so fitness is key to your success. It's key to your health.
Well, it's discipline.
And those are the two things that we always preach on financial fitness. So thank you, Sean, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, dude.
And thank you guys for tuning in.